Good evening. Nowhere good to put my water bottle. Okay, down there is good. As Brad said, I am not Father Doc Ortman. He's going to be sorely missed this evening. My name is Caroline Millart. Like he said, I've been a youth minister. I'm a retired youth minister for 17 years at St. Cornelius. I am so blessed to be a part of this awakened family for the last year. It has truly been a blessing in my life. And so before I begin to tell you a little bit about myself and my witness, I just kind of want to dig in to help my unbelief. When you hear that, help my unbelief, what does it say to you? What does it speak to you? What does that doubt do to your faith life? What does that doubt do to your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? There's many accounts in Scripture about unbelief, and I've only chosen just a couple because they speak directly to me. Thomas. Thomas was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and even when Jesus was standing right in front of him after the resurrection, Thomas still had unbelief, as we read in the Gospel of John, verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it here in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And in the Gospel of Mark, verses 22 and 23, Jesus has brought a boy who is suffering from an unclean spirit by his father. And the father's boy says to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If I can, everything is possible for the one who believes." So these scriptures speak deeply in my life. And my doubt and my fear and my unbelief could have taken me two different ways. I could have let it drive me far away from Jesus, or I could have let it bring me closer in relationship to him. And as you'll hear, you'll be able to see how Jesus took my doubt and my fear and showed me just how much he loved me. So I grew up in Detroit. I was the youngest of five. I grew up in a Catholic household. I went to Catholic grade school, and I went to an all-girls Catholic high school. I was always in some type of ministry within the church, and I thought I had a pretty good, solid faith life and a faith foundation. I married young, and we had a plan. We were going to enjoy married life for 5 years, and then we were going to have children. Until the doctor told me that I probably wouldn't be able to have any children. And I prayed, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And through prayer and trial and tribulation, I was given the gift of two beautiful daughters. They were and still are my pride and joy. I moved to a small town in Lapeer County called Dryden, and I immediately became involved in the music ministry there at the church, St. Cornelius. And I was going through all the Catholic motions. And a lot of you and I go through the Catholic motions, right? In the world of youth ministry, and these people over here know what I'm going to talk about, In the world of youth ministry, Catholic motions are called the YMCA. They're called the Youth Ministers Catholic Aerobics. And you guys all know what I'm talking about, right? Sit down, stand up, genuflect, sign yourself, pass the basket, shake your hands, genuflect, sign yourself. You know what I'm talking about, right? Going through the motions. And I was doing that. I was being a Christian and a Catholic and going through the motions, and there's nothing wrong with what I was doing. But I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I did not know that back then. When my girls were in grade school, they were young, and I received some news that no parent ever wants to hear. My daughters were being abused by a friend's family member. And I prayed, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And my world fell apart. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. How could I help my daughters? How can I help them heal from this? And the next 5 years were a blur and a struggle. Anxiety, anger, resentment, every day was a struggle. Like a merry-go-round I thought that I was never going to get off of. My pastor at St. Cornelius was there only a couple of years when this happened. And of course I went to him and I asked him to please keep me and my family in his prayers. And he did that. And so much more. I believe at that time that he could see that I was spiritually empty. And especially when you're in a ministry in the church, you can't give to somebody else if you yourself have nothing to give. It's like trying to drive your car with an empty gas tank. And I needed a gas station a long time ago. So, fast forwarding in those 5 blurry years, my oldest daughter was at St. Cornelius. She made her confirmation there. And the summer of her 8th grade year, she was invited to go to a Catholic youth conference at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio. And she declined. And I was not shocked. I didn't think much of it. But over the next year, she joined the youth group. And she went with her best girlfriend. And every Wednesday, she would come home and she would tell me about it and what they learned. And she was having a great time. And she started to listen to praise and worship music. And I thought, this is a great avenue for her. And so the summer of her 9th grade year, she was once again invited to go to that same Catholic conference in Steubenville. And again, she declined. And my priest came up to me, my pastor came up to me at church one day, and he said, "Your daughter needs to be on that bus." And I said, I know, Father. I know she needs to be on that bus. But the only way she's getting on that bus is if I literally pick her up and put her on that bus. And if I'm able to be on that bus with her, and without hesitation, he looked at me and he said, "Done." And I prayed, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Father got 3 parishes together, as he always did, and we took about 50 kids on a charter bus down to Steubenville, Ohio. Now, of course, my daughter was not happy when I told her that we were going. And on that early morning ride to the church parking lot, she was begging me to please turn the car around and to go home. She did not want to go. And I told her that we were going to go this time. And if she tried it once and she didn't like it, she never had to go back again. And yes, I literally had to pick her up and put her on that bus. It's a 7-hour bus ride, and she sat with her arms folded for 7 hours. And I distanced myself from her. She sat in the middle. I went up towards the front. And as we got closer to the university, Father was on the bus and a group of youth ministers who I knew none of them. And he gathered them up all towards the front of the bus. And they prayed. And I could hear they started talking about the dynamics of the weekend. And they started talking about the struggles of the individual teens. And something prompted me. And I stood up and I walked to the front of the bus and I looked at Father and I looked at the head youth minister, who is now my lifelong friend and my sister in Christ. And I said, I'm giving you my daughter this weekend. She's yours. There's nothing more that I can do for her. I trust you. Give her whatever she needs. And Father looked at me and he said, Caroline, we got this. Friday is the first day of the conference, and one of the first things that you do is you go to the field house. It's the first big event. And the field house is a big gymnasium, and it holds about 2,500 people. So we walked in, and there's 2,500 teenagers jumping up and down for Jesus. They got their arms in the air, and they're shouting, and they're calling out for Jesus. We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you? Right? Something I have never seen before, and something I will never forget in my life. And I sat down, and my daughter sat down next to me, and she turned to me and she said, Mom? I said, yeah. She said, is this a cult? And I prayed, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Saturday, she struggled. I prayed, and she struggled. One of the speakers during the day recounted the miracle of the woman who was sick for 12 years, and she pushed her way through the crowd just to touch the cloak of Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, verse 33 and 34, we hear the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached Jesus and told him the truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction. And I remember him focusing on the point that the miracle was not in the cloak. The miracle was in her faith. So Saturday night at the university, they really focused deeply on Eucharistic adoration and Eucharistic procession. And Awaken is actually mirrored off of that adoration and procession. And so before we went back into the field house, Father gathered all the teens on the grass. And he sat down and he gave them an explanation of what was going to happen, and what they were going to see, and what they were going to hear. But he stressed the point. When Jesus enters that building, do not lose sight of him. Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. No matter what is going on in that building, keep your eyes fixed on the Lord. He said, if Jesus walked into that room, you wouldn't be looking at your friend next to you. You wouldn't be wondering what's going on the other side of the room. You would be in awe. And you would be staring at Jesus. So we went into the field house, and we sat all the way in the back, in the bleachers, and Father asked me to sit up in the bleachers with a certain, he said, keep an eye on this group of teens, and please just remind them when the lights dim and they're ready to bring Jesus in to keep their eyes fixed on the Lord. And my daughter was about 9 rows below me, and the separation that evening was absolutely necessary. And so I could see her, and she was specifically placed at the very end of the bleacher, and a youth minister next to her, and Father not too far away from her. And when the lights dimmed, I got up, I did what I was asked to do. I went over to the group of teens, and I stood behind them and put my arms on their shoulders, and I said, remember, no matter what, when Jesus enters the room, do not lose sight of him. Wherever he is in the building, keep your eyes fixed to the Lord. And for some reason, I said, let's do this together, okay? And they agreed. Now, I don't remember very much of that Eucharistic adoration and procession, other than I never took my eyes off of Jesus. And just like Mary, willing to give up her son, and Abraham, willing to give up his son, I gave my daughter to Jesus. And I prayed that we were in his presence for a reason. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I asked him, said, please, if she could just see and feel a glimpse of you, to give her strength to heal her from her wounds. Procession was over, adoration was over, and the lights came up. And I immediately wanted to get an eye on where my daughter was. And I couldn't see her. And I kept looking, and I kept looking. And I caught the eyes of Father, who was squatted down on the floor next to my daughter, who was resting in the Spirit. He anointed her, and he was praying over her, and believe me, it took me 2 mom steps to get down those 9 rows of bleachers to get down there. And I got down there, and Father said, she's okay. She's spending time with Jesus. And I looked at her face, and she had tears softly coming down. And her eyelids were fluttering. Everyone kept asking me, they kept coming up behind me, and they kept saying, how could you stay up in those bleachers? How come you didn't come down? And I didn't understand at the time what they were asking me. But I only found out later that when Father processed by my daughter, she reached out her hand and she touched his cloak. And immediately she saw darkness and she let out a blood-curdling scream and she started crying and she curled up in a ball and she rested in the arms of Jesus. When she opened up her eyes, she looked at me and she said, Mom, it's gone. And I prayed, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Her time with her Jesus changed her life. She was only about 4 feet tall back then and not much taller than that right now. But the end of Saturday and all of Sunday, she was the tallest person in that building because she was jumping up and down for Jesus, had her hands in the air, and she still does that to this day. My gift came the next morning at Mass after communion. I knelt down after receiving the Eucharist, and I said, "Thank you, Father, for loving my daughter." And I immediately felt a warm sensation come over my body, and I felt like I was wrapped in the arms of my dad. I had no control over my body or my emotions, and I just melted down into a puddle on the floor. And I cried tears of sorrow, and I cried tears of joy. And I heard Jesus say to me, "Caroline, I love you too. I choose you. So bring them all to me." And I knew immediately what he was asking me to do. I made a promise to Jesus Christ that night that until the day I leave this earthly body, that I will continue to bring young men and women, whether it be through conversation or example, to continue to bring them into personal relationship with Jesus Christ. My younger daughter, she had a similar healing as well at Franciscan. But what I want you to understand is that those healings don't have to happen at a Catholic university or at a huge event or even at an event like this. Mine happened after I received the Eucharist. Understand, every time we receive a sacrament, we meet Jesus face to face. When a baby is baptized, it meets Jesus face to face. When we go to confession, we meet Jesus face to face. When we receive the Eucharist, we meet Jesus face to face. When we're anointed, please don't wait until you think you're dying to be anointed. We meet Jesus face to face. Both of my daughters are adults now. And when we talk now about this, they both say the same thing. If we could go back in time, they would not change a thing. They're warriors for God. And they both say it made them who they are today. Maybe there was a little boy or a little girl who couldn't handle what they went through. They both have incredible faith lives, and they continue to lead others to Christ. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. God loved me so much, and he loves you so much, that he gave us his Son, Jesus. And Jesus loves us so much that Jesus' love in action is the Holy Spirit. But in order for us to be filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, our heart has to be open. And we need to do three things: let go, accept, and move on. Let go, accept, and move on. And the way I remember that is because L-A-M spells lamb. And I know it doesn't have a B on it, but I tuck one in there too. Let go, accept, move on. Boy, oh boy. Right? So what do you have to let go of tonight? What do you have to accept tonight? What do you have to move on from tonight? Where are you? Are you here? You got your arms crossed like my daughter? That's okay. Are you here? How much do you have to bring to lay at his feet tonight? You got this much? Do you got this much? Do you got this much? It doesn't matter, because tonight, Jesus is going to come and he's going to be present to us. And he's going to come down and he's going to meet you wherever you're at. So please do this for me right now. Please close your eyes. Settle in for a moment and close your eyes. Put your arms out wherever you think you're at. I've got my eyes closed, so I'm not going to see. It's between you and Jesus tonight. Open your heart and let him in. Give him everything. Pile it up and lay it at his feet. And repeat after me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus.